Can righteousness be legislated? Perhaps we need to identify two words in that question in order to begin to study it. The word legislate means passing laws or codes by those in authority to govern the situations that exist. And righteousness means the doing of what is governed by those laws and codes. Can righteousness be legislated? There is a hint to the answer to this question as we look back to Old Testament times. As recorded in Exodus 20, God gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments as a table of contents, so to speak, to the law that we call the Law of Moses. And as recorded in the rest of the book of Exodus and Leviticus and places like that, gave them details concerning how they were to act toward him, toward one another, and toward all people. God legislated. He passed laws or put laws into effect. He instructed those children of Israel in passages like Deuteronomy 4:2 not to change those laws, neither to add to them nor to take away. And yet the description given at the last verse of the book of Judges is that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Can righteousness be legislated? There is also an indication when we turn to New Testament times. God legislated certain principles and laws to be involved in governing the establishment and maintenance of the New Testament church. He told people what to do to become members, what to do to worship as members, what to do to live as members of his body. And yet when you read the epistle written to Corinth that we call 1 Corinthians, you immediately realize that not all of God's people were righteous. And certainly not all of those who claimed to be his followers were guided by his laws of legislation. When you come to the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and read chapters 2 and 3, particularly describing the seven churches of Asia Minor, you're made to realize that although there was legislation given to them from God himself, that many times they were not completely righteous and holy and moral in their dealings with one another. Certainly, if we look at what's happening in our time, we realize that righteousness cannot be legislated. We have lived in circumstances where it was against the law to consume alcoholic beverage. But that did not control what was taking place. We have lived at a time in our country when it was against the legislation of the land for a woman to get an abortion. And yet that did not guarantee righteousness. Can righteousness be legislated? If you have had your television on at all in the last few weeks, if you have read the newspapers that are published, you have seen or read something about legislation. We listened to the President's State of the Union address a few nights ago. And as it was being presented, whether or not you agreed with what was being suggested, you came to realize that there is a process of legislation involved in our country where our Congress is involved in the passing of laws, and where there will be debate and discussion about what to do on one hand or the other. You probably have read something during the last 2 or 3 weeks about the Supreme Court and what they will do relative to laws that have been passed and the enforcement of those laws. A lot is being said, for example, about how they will deal with laws that have been passed in certain states concerning the right of abortion, and whether or not this will affect the Roe Wade verdict decision that was made back in the early 70s. When you read about what's happening on Capitol Hill in Nashville, you read the proposal of the governor, you read what is accepted or rejected by our legislature. And some of these things have to do with moral principles as well as the details that are involved in other ways. And particularly in the last week or two, you may have been impressed with decisions that were made on the campus of Memphis State University, where there was a difference in attitudes toward the policies of the school that would, as far as the bottom line of the matter is concerned, promote or discourage gay rights involvement and movements. And from time to time, there are even decisions that are made in a sense of codes or laws being passed that govern the activities on the campus at Freed-Hardeman or on the campus of the high school or other schools here, and that have to do with the workplace and with our families, what can be done and cannot be done as far as the law of the land is concerned. We are constantly dealing with legislation. And yet, we have not done away with all unrighteousness. We have not done away with that which is illegal, dishonest, or immoral in our society. Can we legislate righteousness or morality? Let me at this point suggest to you that it seems to me that there is a tendency to go to one of two extremes. To the one extreme is the idea that we will pass all kinds of laws and all kinds of rules, and we'll try to control everything right down to the minute detail if we possibly can. The other extreme is to say we don't need these laws. And as I have even heard expressed in the last week by one who claims to be a preacher of the gospel, we need very few rules, we just need the spirit of the matter. And as others who are even some of our preachers in the church are saying, let's just emphasize the spirit of Christ and have no laws and no, or at least very few laws and very few rules. Let's just deal with it from the spirit of the matter and have no rules. Or the other hand, let's deal with it by trying to pass a rule on everything and control every situation in the minute details. These are the two extremes. Now, in the setting of that, there are some basic principles that we need to understand. First, there are some things that are right. Righteousness exists. The principles of righteousness exist, mainly because God has given us some principles and some laws, some principles that have never been changed, and some laws, though changed in detail, have never changed those principles. And we have given to us in God's Word His legislation. What has been passed or handed down to man by the one in authority to control the situations of life. There are some things that are right. For example, it's right to respect God. It's right to respect Him when we're together in worship such as we are right now. That's a principle of righteousness. That's right. And it is wrong for one to misbehave in worship. In fact, I'm convinced that it's impossible for a young person or an older person to spend the time during the hour or so that we're together passing notes or talking to one another and worship God. I think it's impossible to misbehave and worship God at the same time. It's right to worship God. That's a principle of righteousness. Number two, it is right to respect honesty. In our dealings with each other, whether it be in the family, at the business, at school, in the community, whether it's a big deal or a little deal, it is right to respect honesty. It is right to respect human life created in the image of God. And we believe, because of the teaching of God, that it is right to respect the life that is developing in the womb from the time of conception itself. It is right to respect human life. It is right for us to have respect for the human body, which is identified in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 and 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 as the temple of God, with an attached warning that we're to be careful about sinning against the body or destroying it in any way. Now, that's a principle that's right. It's right to be concerned about the mind. Mind not the things of the flesh, but mind the things of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8. That's just something that's right. For us to be concerned about keeping the mind pure and thinking about the things that are good and just and honest. It is right for us to respect the sanctity of the family and the permanence of the family relationship. It's right. That's just the right thing to do. So you see, we live in a setting where there are some principles that are right. This is the righteousness that we're talking about. It's right to respect God, to respect honesty, to respect the sanctity of life, the purity of the body, the importance of the mind, the permanence of the family relationship. Now, all of these things are set in a situation where we have legislation passed in Washington, in Nashville, in Henderson, county and city, on the campus of the university, and even in the church, guidelines are established by those who have God's authority to deal with our worship and our work. And in our families, guidelines are established that have to do with principles of either right or wrong. And in a sense, there's legislation there dealing with guidelines to lead us in these settings. Now, will these laws that are passed or guidelines that are suggested always control the situation? I strongly urge that we do everything we can to pass the right kind of laws and encourage those in authority to pass the right kind of laws to help ensure, if possible, the best set of circumstances that we can have. I've watched on television as I see those who are pro-life trying to encourage the legislatures to pass the right law as they see it. And then you see those who are pro-choice, another way of saying pro-abortion, trying to get laws passed in that direction. I remember a few years ago when the decision had to be made concerning the Equal Rights Amendment, how much was done. I remember busloads of our ladies going to a convention or to a place to try to deal with this and impress those who would eventually pass the law or vote against it. And I would encourage us to do everything that we can as citizens to encourage our people who are in a position to pass the right kind of laws. I have the opportunity this coming Thursday morning to lead the prayer at the opening of the legislative session in Nashville at the invitation of one of our local representatives. And I'll guarantee you when I lead that prayer that I will include in that prayer something about asking that God help these men and women to pass the best laws that are possible. Laws that will help to promote the idea of righteousness. And as I talk with them, as I did with Paige Wally just a few nights ago as we were talking about this event, I talk with them and encourage them to pass the right kind of laws. He and I talked about some principles that have to do with God's righteousness, wherein those that are lawmakers will have the opportunity and the responsibility to decide what the law of our state will be. Back in the 1960s, when we dealt with the question of whether or not liquor stores would come into Gallatin, Tennessee, I did everything I could do to have the law passed that they would not come. We lost by 8 votes. And if we faced it here in Henderson and Chester County in the next few weeks, I'll do everything I can to try to encourage the passing of what I believe to be the best law possible. A couple years before we moved to Henderson, we dealt with the liquor by the drink in Tullahoma, not too distant from the time we were dealing with it in the Jackson area. As a citizen, I worked against it 100%. If I had the opportunity again, I'd work against it 100%. I believe we need to do everything we can to have the best setting of legislation and laws that we can have from the government at the same time that we have God's laws handed down to us. But will that solve all the problems? Certainly not. If we lived in a country and a state and a county where all these things we mentioned were against the law, there would still be people who would not live righteous lives. I don't care what code is established on the campus of Freed Hardeman College concerning dress. Those who want to dress modestly will find a way, and those who don't care to dress immodestly will find a way. And I don't care what code was passed or policy was passed at Memphis State University. Those who have a lifestyle that is different, which we believe to be contrary to the Word of God, will find a way to involve themselves in and promote that lifestyle. We cannot legislate righteousness simply by the passing of laws. But there's another side to it. Neither can we legislate unrighteousness and immorality. If the law passes in this land, and to a certain degree it already has, that anybody under any set of circumstances can decide to abort the life of an unborn baby, that will not force a person who respects the law of God into unrighteousness. If laws are passed that make it possible for the consumption of alcohol, or let's say even if a law is passed that marijuana is legal, the legislation will not force you and me to be involved in that which may be a principle of unrighteousness in the sight of God's legislation. We live at a time when the laws that have been legislated relative to marriage, divorce, and remarriage are such that anybody can get a divorce and be remarried. That's really the bottom line of it. But there's not a law on the books that forces anybody to violate God's word on this point. You and I can still keep our bodies pure. We can still keep our marriages intact. We can have happy homes, and we'll illustrate next Sunday night how many have done this, even in a time when the law has been passed that's so liberal. In the same sense, that we cannot legislate righteousness, neither can we legislate unrighteousness. And that brings about what I believe to be a basic conclusion, that the final decision in at least most of these areas, if not all, is going to have to be made in the heart of each individual. Let's do everything we can to have the best legislation that's possible. Let's do everything that we can to promote the principles of honesty and decency and purity in our laws. But whatever laws are passed, let's remember some principles that are taught in God's Word. Genesis 6:5 says that the very imaginations of the people's heart was evil continually. God saw righteousness in Noah, but when he looked at the people in general, he saw even the imagination of their hearts evil. Now the law was there to promote righteousness. And God even allowed Noah to preach for years and years to where he could tell the people about this righteousness. He's called a preacher of righteousness. But did God, through Noah, legislate to those people and force them to be right? Oh, no. He let them drown in the flood. At Psalms chapter 140, verse 2, the Bible says the people had mischief in their hearts. Now, I don't care what legislation is passed and what law is on the book. When a person has mischief in his heart, it's going to be difficult for him to have righteousness in his life. In Psalms 40, at verses 8 and 9, he talks about the law being written on my heart. The first commandment with promise at Matthew 22, 37 through 40, is loving God with all thy heart. Keeping his commandments from a law that's written on the heart. Matthew 15, 18 talks about how that out of the heart come those, or 18, 15, out of the heart come those principles that defile the man. And Philippians 4, verse 8 talks about those principles on which a person thinks that will cause his life to be like it ought to be. You see, it's getting back to the heart. Romans 6, 17 says, even our obedience to the gospel is to come from the heart. Obeying the law of God, but obeying it from the heart. And over in the book of Proverbs, at chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And at the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. There's where the laws must be before there can be true righteousness in our lives, in the church, and in the communities. Can we legislate righteousness? No way. Let's legislate principles that will help, and let's stand up for those laws that will help to give us the best set of circumstances possible. But we're not going to force people to be righteous, and neither are we going to force people to be unrighteous. We must respect those laws and rules and patterns of God and write them on our hearts to where we are so convinced that no matter what the legislation of the land, we will respect God, honesty, human life, the purity of the body, the purity of the mind, and the sanctity of the family. When we write those laws upon our hearts, and we obey God from the heart, then righteousness will be the result. We cannot legislate righteousness. We cannot legislate unrighteousness. But we from the heart can respect and be obedient to the legislation of God that will govern right and produce completely in our lives that which is needed. If you have the law of God written on your heart, you'll know that it includes repentance, showing your faith in confession, being baptized with him for the remission of sins. And you'll know that that law includes penitence, confession, and prayer to God when you've gone astray. Nobody will ever force you to be a Christian by the passing of any law or the setting forth of any guideline. Nobody will ever force you to, in the right way, respond to the invitation of Christ to become a Christian or to be restored as a Christian. Because righteousness cannot be legislated. It's only when you decide on the inside, based on the principles that have been given from our Heavenly Father, that you're going to do right. And that's what righteousness is. Now, what's the right thing to do? If you're already a child of God, trying your best to live the Christian life, just keep going in that direction. Study His Word. Learn all you can. Learn His principles of legislation. Write them on your heart and live by them. If you're a child of His, but there's been a period of time in your life when you did not worship and did not work and involved in the work of the church as you should be, you need to let the laws of God written on your heart produce in you the desire and determination to come today and make things right and get back in the right relationship. If you have not become a Christian that you might live in the principles of righteousness, you need to decide today, I'm going to confess the name of my Lord, be buried with him in baptism, and from the heart I'm going to obey those commandments that are there. The bottom line of it is, righteousness is going to come about when we have the right attitude in the heart toward the highest legislation that's ever been given, that of God Himself. And it may very well be that some of you need to respond relative to those guidelines by coming as together we stand and sing.
Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but